whatever. And shit.
All right. Mic check 1 2 1 2.
Yep. Testing.
Hello. All right. Wow. It's been a long time.
It has.
What is this? November 13th. Where was I going with this? Episode 15. Yes. I did check.
Nice.
We fucked up the last time. Yeah, we had episode 13 2.0, which is really episode 14. This is truly episode 15. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long time. Yeah. Far too long. I hope you guys didn't give up on us, those who do listen to us. We've been on a bit of a hiatus, but for good reasons, not for bad reasons. Obviously, where was I going with this? I'm Frank Jackson.
This is Devin.
And we're here on another wonderful Wednesday night to spend an hour talking about what we like to talk about. So, I don't know. Fuck it. Let's just go over it. Where have we been? I think our last episode was sometime in January when we recorded. No, we got further than that.
Yeah.
I think we were into March. Yeah, I think we were into March or April.
Okay.
So, basically, it's my fault. You know, I'll take the blame on this one. We had to shut it down. I decided to sell my home. I needed to stage my home. Apparently, podcasts aren't the most appealing setups when somebody wants to tour a potential home that they want to buy. I don't know. So, we had to close up shop, pack it up. I had a new home built, so I was living in an apartment. Not able to do a podcast in an apartment basically all summer long. So we'll call it a summer break. Right. I know we're well out of the summer. It's just taking some time for me to get a house built, get settled in, and get ready to go. But we haven't forgotten about our listeners. We've been itching and scratching to try to get this thing back up and going again. We're finally here, man. Yeah, I'm excited. Okay. I've missed it for a long time. I probably didn't work as much as I could have today because I was really just trying to make sure we had it all together and we were ready to go. We're going to try to keep this one at an hour. That's our goal. We've talked about that in show prep. While we didn't have the show going on, we really want to try to cap this weekly episode thing at about an hour. Mm. And we'll see where we go from there. I mean, if somehow we can get enough people that will listen to us for more than an hour without getting bored with us, then, you know, maybe we'll see where it goes from there. But we kind of like to keep you guys wanting a little bit more. So that's where we've been. That's what we've been up to, getting new houses built, having, you know, my kids start kindergarten, which is really exciting. He has taken to kindergarten really well. Yeah. He's very intelligent. He's not the biggest kid. He's very small. But kindergarten has been a cool experience. I think when your kid finally hits kindergarten is when you're like, damn, I'm old.
Because
now, you know, you got a kid in school. And so now it's like, it's started now. The baby years and all of that, you know, it's all over. And now it's work. I think one of the most exciting things for him is he's gotten to be around a lot more boys. Yeah, and the competitive fire in him is starting to come out.
Yeah,
he likes to come home and talk to dad about, you know, how he's like the second fastest kid in his grade. And,
he
tries to goat me into buying him these Nikes because he thinks Nikes are going to make him faster over this shoe. And so he's already with his analytics here.
Yeah, that's funny.
Keeping his metrics. But it's fun, man. He loves it. You know, he's one of the brightest kids in his class. He's taken to it really well. I enjoy the fact that he wants to go to school. He's one of those kids that asks, you know, dad, do I have school tomorrow? Like, yeah, you got school tomorrow. Like, all right, cool. I'm gonna go to bed then, dad, so I can get some rest. Like, okay, go to bed, you know. Right. You ain't gonna hear no complaints out of me. So that's been fun. So that's where we've been. I don't want to spend too much time on that. I really want to get into it. We got a lot of stuff we can talk about. The biggest thing that I don't want to do, as we talked about, I don't really want to go over what we missed.
No,
there was so much that happened in the months that we were gone.
We could
do catch up episodes, but who wants to listen to stuff, you know, that's not current necessarily than what we have going on. And we
talk about the here and the now.
Yeah, we want to talk about what's going on right at this moment. Although I will just brush over a few things. We got to congratulate the Toronto Raptors. They won the NBA title because we're a big sports, you know, show here. We talk a lot about sports. We love our basketball. We love our football. We delve into baseball a little bit here and there. But the Toronto Raptors unseated the Golden State Warriors for the NBA title. Took a little bit of help. You know, the Achilles, ironically, is what brought down the Golden State Warriors. Because with a healthy Kevin Durant and a healthy Klay Thompson who tore his ACL, I don't think Toronto wins that series. I don't even think it is a series personally. No. Because I just – that's just
– I mean, that was heavy hitters.
That team is just too good. And we knew it wouldn't last. Yeah. And we'll get into that when we talk about the NBA later on in the show and how we feel about that.
Yeah, so much has changed.
Yeah.
Even since then.
Yeah, absolutely. The landscape of the NBA is something that has basically changed overnight.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
And an overnight being an off season. So congratulations to them. Moving on, Houston Astros did not win, actually. No. Washington Nationals won.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've read about that. We're already going off on tangents, which I love. But did you see the articles about the video proof that they have of the Houston Astros stealing signs in the year that they won the World Series?
No, I did not hear about that.
Okay,
but,
check out this article.
That's crazy. I'll have to look into that.
Basically, what it is I found a YouTube video, and I wish I could remember the guy's name or I'd shout him out right now because it's a great video, that he puts together where he has an at-bat, and it's the Astros, and I want to say they're playing... It's not in the World Series, but I want to say it's in the playoffs.
Right.
And they have a TV in their bullpen. Oh, I'm sorry. They have a TV in the dugout, and there's a video camera that's in the outfield. And they have basically the video camera feed, and the video camera is obviously we live in the day and age where everybody, you know, we want to see, you know, pimples on people's faces from 30 feet away for some fucking reason these days. So we have all kinds of crazy graphical TVs, you know, graphics TVs. But it's good enough and it's zoomed in enough where they can pick up the catcher's fingers. And as you know, in Major League Baseball nowadays, catchers have even gone so far as to paint their fingernails to make their fingers more easily visible to the pitcher so they can communicate better and see what they're calling. So you'll see guys with, you know, highlighter yellow nails or orange nails or whatever, and they'll paint them so they can see what pitch they want them to throw. Well, in this case, this camera is picking up this pitch, and every time a changeup is coming, right before, you know, right after the sign is sent, within a second to a second and a half, you'll hear this banging noise coming from the dugout, like somebody smacking a metal pole with a bat or something to signal to the batter that the changeup is coming.
No shit.
Yes, and they show it over the course of like four or five pitches in just this one at bat. And every time, and it actually will zoom in on the camera's, you know, picture quality, and it'll show the pitcher drops like three fingers or something like that because you can see more fingers. And he's like, that's the call for changeup. And then they... Then the guy gets quiet on the video, and then you just hear this like ting ting, like this banging noise, and it's not extremely loud, but it's loud enough that they're picking it up on the broadcast, on the television broadcast.
Right.
So if they're picking it up on the television broadcast, you're hearing it in the stadium, and you're definitely hearing it on the field. And in two of the pitches that it was a changeup, he didn't swing, he took them.
Oh, I got you.
And then all of a sudden, when he doesn't hear the banging noise, it's a fastball. I imagine this pitcher is either, you know, 1-2, maybe a 3-pitch pitcher, and they were basically looking to not fall for the changeup, right?
Yeah, they didn't. They wanted
so
to
he
balls.
Comes with a fastball. Homie swings at it for the fences, fouls it off. The next pitch, catcher goes back to a changeup. Then you hear the banging noise, and he takes it. The third time he goes to throw the changeup, he knows the changeup is coming, so he actually tries to hit the changeup, and he fouls it off.
Gotcha.
But it's pretty crazy. And the thing about it is, not only have they done that, but there's other articles that have come out where people who are on that team, who like one of the guys was a coach who was on the team and then moved to the Chicago White Sox. I don't know baseball enough to know his name, but this is good conversation. He got interviewed and basically admitted that they were stealing signs. And that's one of the biggest knocks on the Houston Astros is that they steal signs. You know, the thing about it is I'm not knowledgeable enough about baseball to know whether or not it's written in the rules that they cannot steal signs. I think it's written in the rules that you cannot use technology
to steal signs.
If you're going to figure it out, if you're going to take the time to watch the tape, see the fingers,
right,
you know, figure out which pitch he threw. right. how he's reacting to that, and then you're going to train your guy who's got to get on second base in order to steal signs anyway, because the only person that can be that on can your see. Team that can see it, it without using a television, base. He's got to be at second base so he can see straight down. Right. You might get it from third, maybe, depending on, you know, the or at first, depending on, you know, whether your batter's left or right-handed, I imagine, and if you can see in there.
That angle,
for the most part, you got to have a man on second base in order to see that, right? But if they're watching a television in the dugout, I think that's written cheating. In the rules that's cheating.
That's straight up cheating.
How far this goes, though, I kind of wonder, because do you think this would be something where the MLB would make a team vacate a World Series over sign stealing?
No. You think so? I don't know. They would have to prove.
If you can keep Pete Rose out of baseball for his entire career for betting on baseball,
but that's a whole
why
team.
Would you not? I mean, the Olympics make people vacate medals all the time when they find out that they've got PED use or that they've cheated.
Didn't they make them?
The NCAA has made football teams vacate championships, and the NCAA made USC made Reggie Bush give a Heisman back, I think.
Yeah, or did he choose to give that?
No, because I think he chose to give the Heisman back.
I think that was
But because he got that was an entirely different situation with him as an individual. Violating NCAA rules, which we know their rules are fucking stupid anyway about amateurism and whatnot.
In the baseball thing, though, I don't know, man. That's crazy. I guess it'd be how much you could prove, really, that they were doing that.
Because the thing about it is they found all those cheaters and they knew people were on steroids, but none of those, you know, the home run record from Barry Bonds doesn't have an asterisk next to it. We all know Barry Bonds was on steroids. I mean, everybody knows Barry Bonds was on steroids, but his home run record has never been asterisked or vacated. Oh yeah, absolutely. Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa that year.
Yeah,
you know, they had the world on their toes.
Oh yeah. So I don't know, man.
It would be a pretty drastic measure.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be able to even get enough evidence.
But at this point in time, how would you punish them?
Yeah, no, I don't think you really could. I mean, fine them.
That's what, two World Series appearances in 3 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not like they haven't had the squad, though. They have had a lot of great players,
How much greater are you when you know the pitch that's coming?
Yeah, exactly.
That's no different than New England filming Philadelphia.
There's so much.
But the NFL didn't make them vacate that title either. And they found video proof. Suspended people, but they didn't make them vacate the result of a football game.
No.
But do you think that's only because it was a championship game?
Yeah, I mean, that's what, like...
So but isn't that the ultimate thing that people would cheat to achieve, and yet you've found evidence of that cheating, and yet you don't punish them in the greatest way that you could punish them, and that's to remove the one thing that they cheated to get?
But then you just have, like, 1 year of just no team winning the championship, you know what I mean? Like, a vacant...
Would you... Okay. If you're any one of the 31 teams in the NFL... And if you're any one of the teams, especially in the American League, that had to face the Astros in the playoffs,
the Yankees,
would you rather have no champion or a champion who was found out to be a cheater?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're not on the champion team, you're going to say you don't want them to be champions at all.
And if you're the cheater, do you ever really feel like that championship was earned?
I don't know. I guess we'd have to ask them.
I think in the sport of baseball, it's a different story because I think, and I could be wrong on this.
But that one, I'm torn on because it is cheating, but you still got to like hit the ball or not hit the ball. You know what
course,
I mean? Like when it
but
comes
we're
to
at
that,
a point in time where these guys are so, like they play baseball year round since they're like 7 years old. Like, these guys can hit baseball pitches, especially when they know when they're coming. And baseball uses analytics like no other sport.
No, you're right.
No other sport with analytics. I mean, you know, how many pitching changes do you see based on, you know, a lineup's changing. We have a right-handed batter coming. Now we need to put an entirely different pitcher in. Like, baseball is all about that shit. And baseball's got so many unwritten rules.
Yeah.
Then now we find out guys are breaking the actual written rules. Like, we've seen benches cleared, which I think is one of the funniest events in sports because it's literally the biggest build-up to nothing in baseball. I mean, let's keep it real.
Sometimes that...
Very rarely. Like when
with the...
At second base when dude socked him?
Yes.
Yeah, that was Odor from the Rangers, and he hit Jose Bautista, who was playing for the Blue Jays at the time. Hey, That's just what happens. Sometimes you're going to come across a dude that's like, I'm just not going to push fest. Like, I'm going to sock you. Like, because I'm probably going to get suspended no matter what. So I'm just going to slide you. Yeah. And Odor is a smaller dude compared to Jose Bautista, too. And Bautista, you know, came in thinking he was the bigger dude.
He was going to rock.
He got socked. That right there. That right there is the perfect example of how kids need to handle bullying. Because that's exactly how Jose Bautista acted. Like, he was just going to come in here like he was a bully. And he caught one to the jaw. Mm-hmm. And
that's what happens.
That's what happens. You got to learn your lesson. Hockey, another perfect example.
Oh, yeah.
And hockey, it's kind of like, it's honestly, hockey is as close to like street fighting, old street fighting, not this new day shit. But the old street fighting as you can get, where it was like, you fight. Soon as it hits the ground, you split them up, and you got to go to the penalty box. Yeah. Like, that's it. That's the fight. If y'all going to fight, you got to stay on your feet.
Right.
If you can't stay on your feet, fight's over. Y'all got to go your separate ways, basically. They don't really fight like that. But anyway, it's just, you know, kind of something to think about, something to do some research on, and we can talk about it as it gets deeper, because I imagine this is not the last we're going to hear of this. Because I even heard that the Astros put out a statement.
Oh. Defending themselves?
Basically trying to blackball the people who spoke out saying that they were stealing signs.
Yeah.
Like trying to drag their names through the mud. Yeah.
Discredit them.
Yeah, they were basically trying to discredit them, which you know how it is. When jobs are about to be on the line, you know, people are about to get suspended. People could potentially be getting fined. Jobs, all of that. Fined, they got to cover their ass. Yeah, they have no choice. Yeah. They have to do that. So I get it. It is what it is, but... The story's not going away.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The story's not going away.
That's outrageous.
And I don't know. I guess.
I don't know, man.
It's not surprising, because baseball, they cheat.
Exactly.
But we'll see what happens. But that's enough about baseball.
Man. Yeah. Let's talk about a sport that's actually going
away. Although, like I said, congratulations to the Nationals. Congratulations to St. Louis Blues.
Oh yeah.
First ever Stanley Cup title.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. That city needs that. In a city where their second football franchise walked out on them because they had the St. Louis Cardinals. They left and went to Arizona. They ended up getting the Rams back. You know, they got the Rams from Los Angeles and lost them back to Los Angeles. Kind of sucks. The fact that they got a franchise there that they can get behind and support, that's all good. And hockey's an exciting sport. So that's cool. But what I really want to talk about is some NFL, man.
Yeah, it's been going.
What are we, week 11? Yeah, week 11. What a year.
Man, it's been interesting.
What a year.
It's been interesting.
So what's been your favorite part of the football season? We won't even get into because I want to talk about who you think your surprise team and shit like that is, but your overall opinion of this season is what? Like, if you could describe the NFL this year
as being what's excited me the most?
Yeah, what's a phrase you could stamp on this season? Like, what is this the season of to you?
I would say this one to me is more exciting than other ones. Surprisingly, even though my team is so bad.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Your team's not bad. Your team's the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, let's give credit where credit is due, whether it's good or bad credit. Your team is the worst, bro.
It's all right.
I mean,
worst to first eventually.
That happens, but that's usually
first round pick.
That's usually worst in the division to first in the division, not the whole league. Y'all are not leapfrogging 31 teams.
We're gonna do it all, but
no.
Yeah. All right.
But for me, this year it's the year of the black quarterback.
Yeah.
This is the year of the black quarterback. This is the year where the NFL is finally starting to realize that position is not reserved for white people anymore.
Yeah.
And I say that in a way of, I don't necessarily feel like it was rooted in some form of racism or there might be some roots of that, because I think at some point in time, you know, the NFL has been around 100 years, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
We're not 100 years away from civil rights, Martin Luther King. I don't even think we're 100 years away from, you know, free black people. Right? So when you're talking about a quarterback position, that is the face of whatever football team you have. That's just how football is. That's one of the most important positions on the field. And so therefore, with that said, white people have always been in power in this country in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And so therefore, that's going to then bleed down into the way that society was set up. So of course, if you're going to have a leader of a football team, that leader's not going to be a black person.
No.
You know, and I think that that's always kind of been part of the reason why that's kind of the root of why the quarterback has always been white. Moving forward, as people have realized that, you know, blacks truly are equal. We are all the same. We all bleed red. We all live and die. You know, that literally the difference between us is a chemical composition in our skin, you know, and in our bodies and in our DNA, that you just have a lot of people that are looking for something that they've already seen rather than creating something that nobody's ever seen. And because it's the safer thing to do. So, and you'll even have a lot of coaches that'll admit it, you know, they'll tell you, you know, like I usually draft people based on prototypes that of players that I've had in the past that I had success with. Right. And then you'll have a lot of coaches that say, well, I run this type of system and this type of system requires this type of quarterback. Right. Okay. Instead of saying, well, who's the best person on the, like, who is the best talent on the draft board? And how can I use their talents to fit a system, or how can I fit a system to their talents that therefore will bring us success, right?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And everybody is getting caught up in the fact that we've had in the NFL, I mean, 100 years, Terry Bradshaw, white quarterback, Hall of Famer. Dan Fouts, Hall of Famer, white quarterback. You know, Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning, the list goes on and on and on and on. And what you'll find a lot of the times that's common about them is something happened in the NFL where once the day of passing the ball overtook the days of running the football, when the evolution of the game, and I'm talking back in the day, I'm talking like, you know, the 50s, Sammy Baugh, you know, those type, you know, Bart Starr, those types of days where football was so run dominated that even the quarterbacks were just glorified running backs at that time.
Right.
You know, that all of a sudden it turned into, well, I could kind of just sit back here and throw to this guy and throw to this guy and throw to this guy. And we have the potential to pick up bigger chunks of yardage that because that was looked at that way. And then once you have a successful quarterback in that role, now you're trying to find him every single time. And I think that the NFL has been whitewashed for a long time. We all know that. I mean, there's no black owners in the NFL.
No.
There's probably a handful of black GMs. And I think there's even less coaches. Black head coaches. There might be less black GMs than there are black head coaches. It seems like black head coaches don't get as much leash, for lack of a better term. I really don't like using that. So we'll say margin for error.
Yes.
Than a white coach might.
Yeah.
You know, you could take the Arizona Cardinals, for example.
Yeah.
They hired Steve Wilkes and fired him a year later when, quite honestly, teams, right? I don't know that he was given a chance to even set a roster. I mean, even a college football coach will get 3 years to where they've at least got their first year is not their recruiting class.
No, so they just got to run with.
So they just got to go with what they got, and their second year is their first. They've got freshmen as their recruiting class, so they really want that third year where now those freshmen that they've brought in are now sophomores and can start to contribute. And now let's see how your system works, right? Exactly. Steve Wilkes got 1 year with a lot of bad moves made by a GM, in my opinion. Who really hampered the team because he got a DUI and was suspended and had to be away from the team at a crucial time in training camp when they needed to sign some people and didn't really have, you know, his GM or his evaluator eye to guide them and point them to what they wanted to do, right? They also completely hired a coach that ran a totally different defense than the previous regime. So they went from Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles, who ran a 3-4 defense, to Steve Wilkes, who came from Carolina and now wants to run a 4-3 defense.
Right.
Well, you can't make that drastic of a change in one single off season and be able to provide Steve Wilkes with all the same type of people that he needs to run his system from Bruce Arians' system.
Not even a little bit.
I digress, right? So back to the quarterback thing, though. So what I would say about this year, you've got, you know, you could name the top three. If you include Christian McCaffrey, I would then have to say top four, because if we're going to talk about MVP, you have to include Christian McCaffrey.
Absolutely.
But as far as the quarterbacks in the MVP race go, you've got Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson.
Aaron Rodgers.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would be probably your top five, right?
Right.
The problem is that Aaron Rodgers, I would put Mahomes and Rodgers probably at the same tier, because Mahomes missed two games, mm-hmm. right? And Aaron Rodgers looked flat out average against the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, but that was one game, though.
I get it, and every team has an anomaly. You know,
I mean, you're going to have a little stinker here and there. But
the thing is he looked bad in that game.
He did look bad.
If you look at other performances where teams have lost, perfect example, Baltimore Ravens got the Cleveland Browns at home and got trounced 45-20.
Yeah.
But if you look at Lamar Jackson's numbers, it may have been one of his worst games compared to his other games. But if you just take that game in a vacuum and look at his numbers, he played pretty well. He had a lot of players drop balls. And when your defense gives up 45 points,
you're probably going to lose
at home.
You're probably going to lose that.
Honestly. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so,
yeah.
But he played a good football game. Right? Yeah. Aaron Rodgers did not play a good game against the Chargers. So that's the only reason why I put him down.
No.
Pat Mahomes, you know, missing two games kind of puts him on that same level. Russell Wilson right now is playing lights out.
Lights out. It is ridiculous.
He is something like I don't think this league has seen before. if he continues at this pace, I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, if he keeps going like this.
He's already got a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If he gets an MVP,
twice, right?
Yeah, he's been to two.
He was
a play away from two Super Bowls, because you hand that ball to Marshawn Lynch and you win back to back Super Bowls, and you beat the Patriots to get one of them. They lost to the Patriots. Who'd they beat? I don't even remember.
I want to say no.
I can't remember who they beat in that Super Bowl. Oh, it was the Broncos with Peyton Manning. Yeah, because
right.
That was the game Malcolm Smith got a MVP because he picked off Peyton and took it back for six.
Yeah.
That was a bad Super Bowl for Peyton Manning. Anyways, Russell Wilson is tearing it up. Lamar Jackson. I don't know that there's enough good things to say about that young man.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Baltimore Ravens fan, just disclaimer, that's my team. This kid on any other football team in the entire league playing like this would still get my respect.
Yeah.
Because if you listen to the way he interviews, he's very humble. He's about hard work.
Right.
He ain't bought into none of the BS.
No.
He's not drinking his own Kool-Aid.
He just trying to win.
On many, many press conferences, he has walked up to the mic after a game with a t-shirt that says, "Nobody cares, work harder."
Right.
Nobody else is doing that.
Yeah. Not for you there.
And the biggest thing about this year is it's just so exciting because Patrick Mahomes, he's mixed race. I believe his mom is white. He's half black. I believe Russell Wilson is the same. I believe Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson are, you know, full black, basically, for lack of a better term, right? If you put those guys all together in a room, they all play quarterback differently.
Yeah.
They all play, and every single one of them is making their own niche in a league where for so long it was thought that in order to be successful and play that position successfully, you had to play it one way. And we've seen four guys play the position almost four different ways.
Yeah.
You've got Patrick Mahomes, who is probably the closest one to the prototypical drop back, throw for 400 plus yards a game type kid, but he makes plays every now and then that just you can't explain it. You know,
for sure.
The no look pass against Baltimore was one of them. He's got a cannon.
Pass.
I mean, he's got a cannon for an arm. Yeah, he's got the jump pass he just did. I mean, he's just got these plays where he just throws in this element of backyard football.
Yeah, exactly.
In that like sense.
NFL street type stuff.
Yeah. And then literally on the other end of that backyard football spectrum is someone like Lamar Jackson. And I think, you know, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson kind of fall in between those two.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, I think Russell Wilson and Deshaun Jackson or Deshaun Watson, I'm sorry, kind of fit almost in the middle between, you know, between Patrick Mahomes and those two styles. Russell a little bit closer to Patrick Mahomes. I think Watson's a little bit closer to Lamar Jackson. But I don't think that any of these guys play football the same way.
No, yeah.
And yet they found success in all kinds of different ways.
Oh, yeah.
And if you'll notice, all the systems are built around what they do best.
Right.
No, you know,
for sure.
You've got Patrick Mahomes, who loves to throw the ball, came from the air raid system, Cliff Kingsbury's system, ironically, right, at Texas Tech, ends up with Andy Reid, and Reid just puts weapons around this kid that can catch the football,
right,
and have speed to get downfield.
Yeah, just run open, basically.
Right? But as always, Andy Reid's Achilles heel is he never wants to build his defense.
Nope.
Whatever. They let people like Tamba Ali walk. They let people like Justin Houston go away. They let people like Eric Berry. They basically just kind of let him go.
Yeah.
They got Tyrann Mathieu, and he has done nothing for them.
No, not really.
Which is why they didn't bring back Eric Berry, ironically. Whatever, right? Then you look at a team like Russell Wilson, where they love to pound the rock and run the football, and the threat of that is what allows Russell to carve you up. But he's so good at making space for his players, as well as giving his guys time to get downfield, to get in windows. And for his height, he might be one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league, and probably at his height, the most accurate. And at this moment in time, I would even say he's probably more accurate than Drew Brees, and that's saying something.
Yeah,
if you're going to compare, you know, their height to
accuracy,
height, you know.
Yeah, small dudes like that.
I mean, he's unbelievable. Deshaun Watson, so a lot of people want to compare Michael Vick to Lamar Jackson. I almost feel like you have more of a comparison to give Deshaun Watson to Michael Vick, because they both have very good straight line speed. I think Deshaun Watson's got a cannon for an arm. Michael Vick had a cannon for an arm.
Right.
And Deshaun Watson does just enough to make you miss, but he doesn't make you look. I mean, he's not going to put you on a poster necessarily.
Yeah.
And then there's this kid who's only 22 years old, who was taken last in the first round, was told by some people that he needed to switch positions, which is so disrespectful to tell someone who's played quarterback their entire life, has thrown for 9,000 yards in college, has won a Heisman as a quarterback, and you're going to tell that kid he needs to switch positions. That's just disrespectful.
Right.
And now you're seeing that if you put him in the right system, he is hands down the most electrifying player in the entire league in Lamar Jackson. There is nobody else who has gotten this league this excited, no matter who they're a fan of.
No, yeah, for
sure. I mean,
yeah, no, yeah.
Anybody.
He's an exciting dude to watch.
He is just something, because he has you on the edge of your seat every single play, because you have no idea what is coming. And the worst part about it is, neither does the defense.
No, yeah, exactly.
It doesn't matter whose defense it is.
I mean, honestly, before him, RG3 was probably the most exciting since Michael Vick.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
The thing about it is, RG3 was fragile, though. That was his problem.
Yeah,
because RG3 was a track guy. You could tell RG3 didn't live in the weight room.
No.
RG3 was a gazelle. He was a runner. He's a strider. And it showed in his runs.
He could throw, too.
But
he just wasn't accurate.
Oh, yeah. And of course he could throw. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But
you could just tell he didn't live in the weight room.
No. So
and that's where I feel like he got caught up. Yeah, absolutely, because you're not taking those hits.
So yeah, that rookie year he had, that dude was...
Oh, yeah, offensive rookie of the year. Yeah, he played really, really well. But Lamar Jackson, he's taller than RG3.
Yeah, he's just big.
You know, he's put on muscle in the offseason. I mean, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
And I mean, I'm sure everyone's seen it, even if you're a casual football fan. Everybody saw that 47-yard run this past Sunday where he literally was in a full sprint, stopped on a dime damn near, spun 360, and then shifted right back into fifth gear and took off down the field. And it happened in a span of what seemed like 30, 40 seconds, and it was literally over in like 5 seconds, and he's in the end zone. And he's making everyone look bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he welcomed Tom Brady and Bill Belichick into his home on Sunday night, and he's got the utmost respect for someone like Tom Brady and wants to emulate more of his game after Tom Brady. And he made Bill Belichick's defense. I mean, when was the last time you've seen players on the Patriots yelling, I mean, screaming at each other about how they need to step up and play? When was the last time you've seen a Patriots defense that frustrated to the point where they literally turned on each other?
I
haven't seen that in a very, very long time. And to me, I think, like Max Kellerman, ESPN, right? He's got this theory about that game where Bill Belichick just, you know, he wanted to win the game, but it was more of basically, let's see how Lamar reacts to this defense, and let's see how Lamar reacts to this defense, and let's see how he reacts to this defense. And then when we have to see them in the playoffs again, I'm sorry, Max Kellerman, this is the NFL. It might stand for the National Football League, but everybody knows that it stands for not for long.
Right.
The Patriots, just like every other team in the NFL, just like every knock that everybody wants to put on Lamar Jackson, are one play away from the end of their season.
Yeah.
If they were to lose Tom Brady to another knee injury like they've done before, they might have a backup quarter. In the past, they may have had a backup quarterback who would do well enough to get them into the playoffs, but they don't have a quarterback that's going to win them a Super Bowl. And at this moment in time, they don't even have a quarterback that I think could get them into the playoffs if Tom Brady were to go down this week, and they're 8-1.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're halfway through the season.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those situations where it's like, do you really ever go up against a team like, well, I hope we win this game, but I know we're going to see them in the playoffs. You don't know who you're going to see in the playoffs 7 weeks into the season, 8 weeks into the season. Mm. The season's halfway done. There have been many teams who have gone on 8-game runs, 7-game runs.
Yeah, made the playoffs, didn't even think they were going to make it.
Or vice versa.
Or,
you know? They go and all of a sudden they go into this epic collapse and they miss the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know what's going to happen. And then to assume that somehow you're going to meet them again in the playoffs is so disrespectful to every other team in the AFC, first of all. Because even if the Ravens and the Patriots finished 1-2, depending on the records, Baltimore could be the one seed because they'd own the tiebreaker. You think Bill Belichick really wants to go back into Baltimore?
Right, exactly.
If they were to give up the one seed to the Ravens and now it would be in an AFC title game, if there's one team in the league, and I say this all the time, if there's one team in the league that do not blink when the Patriots are staring them eye to eye, whether they beat them or not, it's the Baltimore Ravens. They don't blink. If you beat us, congratulations, you beat us. But there's not that element of, ooh, it's the Patriots when it comes to them. The Steelers, I think, have done it as well to a certain degree, but even there, I mean, earlier this year they got blown out with Roethlisberger to the Patriots. So, you know, Baltimore just they're always ready to get into that slugfest, and they play a physical type of football that I don't think the New England Patriots like to play week in and week out, especially with a quarterback like Tom Brady who can't go nowhere. So if you can get to him, you will absolutely kill their offense,
Win.
And that's always been the key. So I really don't think that there's this theory that Bill Belichick would be willing to throw a game just to get a tape on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
you're gonna get tape on Lamar Jackson no matter what.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that theory.
So how many different defenses could you possibly run in this league over the course of 16 games that Lamar Jackson has played right now? How many defenses has he probably been put up against from all of these different teams that he's faced who have tried to stop him? You don't think he hasn't seen quarters before? You don't think he hasn't seen, you know, two high safeties, a single high safety, a zero coverage with everybody coming, double A-gap blitzes, you know, stunts? He's played in the NFL for 17 regular season games now. Started 17 regular season games now. Mm-hmm. Are we to assume that defensive coordinators have not thrown him just about almost anything that they possibly could?
Right.
You saw the Chargers last year. They put six defensive backs on the field, and that really stifled the Ravens in that playoff game. Mm-hmm. That's not the same Lamar Jackson you are seeing right now.
Right.
You're seeing a Lamar Jackson who, instead of what Baker Mayfield did, got himself some endorsements, and now he's with Allstate, and now he looks like he lives in the Brown Stadium with his pretty wife and all of this cool stuff, and let's make commercials, and let's go to Cleveland Indian games and chug beers and do all of this. You didn't see shit from Lamar Jackson in the offseason. Why? Because he was working.
Yeah.
This is not the same dude that everybody wanted to knock last year. He's in a sense, toying with people, because he's going to say, okay, look, you're going to line up. What are you going to do? All right, you're going to throw 8 in the box, 9 in the box. I'm going to send Hollywood Brown over the top like he did the first play of the game against the Cincinnati Bengals. They faked the run to Mark Ingram. Everybody bites down on Ingram and Mark Jackson. Here goes Hollywood Brown up the field for a 40-yard pass on the first play of the game.
Yeah.
Just like they opened up the game against Miami when Miami threw 8 in the box and he threw it right over the top to Hollywood Brown for a touchdown.
Those are bad defenses, though.
We don't pick our schedule, as you know. And at the end of the day, these are still NFL players.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Like, he's still spinning on...
And the thing about it is...
NFL caliber.
The thing about it is, though, is what Lamar Jackson is doing is making great defenses look bad.
Yeah.
And he's making bad defenses look like they don't belong in the league.
We'll see how...
Because
against the 49ers, though, because they do got to play them.
I think it depends on if they have a healthy 49ers to face. Well, because right now, no, it George Kittle's not good. I think one of their defensive linemen is hurt. So depending on how San Francisco can get healthy or not. But I mean, at the end of the day, they face Seattle in Seattle. Yeah, I mean, Bobby Wagner is one of the fastest linebackers in the entire league. From the inside linebacker position, Bobby Wagner got made to look like he ran as quick as an offensive lineman when he was trying to chase. I mean, he's the fastest guy on the field, no matter where he steps.
Yeah,
I mean, I'd put him toe to toe with Tyreek Hill, and I think Tyreek Hill has wheels.
I don't know about that one.
I think Lamar would run a 4.2.
Oh man,
I think Lamar would run a 4.2. I think he would run a 4.2.
Big though, it's a big dude running a 4.2, man.
Calvin Johnson can run a 4.3 at 6'4", 240.
That's 4.3. 4.2 is,
bro,
that's lightning fast.
Who's catching him?
It's lightning fast.
And especially and Tyreek Hill plays offense. So name a defensive player who's going toe to toe with that speed.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he just pulls away from people.
Kyle Van Noy had him dead to rights in that Patriots game. Dead to rights. Broke down, watching. You can see he's watching his hips, so he's not falling for a juke. Arms are open, ready to make a tackle. Lamar steps 1 foot into the field and shoots up, runs north, and it was almost like Van Noy was like, where the hell did he go?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is everybody wants to knock the defenses. And then they want to give him, well, the Patriots, you know, oh, well, Bill Belichick was doing this. But the thing about it is, the Patriots didn't see nobody like Lamar Jackson. The Patriots didn't even see anybody like Kyler Murray or even a half-quality quarterback until they saw Lamar Jackson.
Who they played?
They got Josh Allen, who almost beat them.
Yeah, almost beat
them. Almost beat them. Almost beat them. Right? They saw Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
Who clearly has regressed and is nowhere near Lamar's level, even though he was taking 20-plus spots or 20 spots basically above him.
Josh Rosen.
Mm. You know what I mean? Ryan Fitzpatrick, partially. The first game against the Jets after when Sam Darnold didn't play, they got to play Luke Falk.
Yeah.
They got to play a second and third string quarterback. Yeah. I mean, they didn't see a quality quarterback until they saw Lamar Jackson. Yeah. So how historically good was that defense, really? But nobody wants to use that as an excuse when you talk about the Patriots' defense, but everybody wants to use it as an excuse when you talk about Lamar Jackson. And they want to say, well, those are bad defenses. Well, that's cool, but Tom Brady faced the Dolphins, right? He didn't have a perfect passer rating.
No, yeah.
And Tom Brady had a guy by the name of Antonio Brown in that game. I don't know, we might have heard of him probably not anymore or ever again, but he was there. Josh Gordon was there. Oh, and the Super Bowl MVP from last year plays on that team too, and Julian Edelman. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Tom Brady throw for a perfect passer rating. Lamar Jackson is the first player in NFL history to throw for two perfect passer ratings in the same season, and both of them were road games. Ben Roethlisberger is the only other one to do it twice in the same season, but they weren't both road games. He's now done it in Cincinnati, and he did it in Miami. First game of the season and this most recent one. Nobody's doing that. And that's the thing about it is he can't pick and choose who he goes up against week in and week out. But the teams that they should beat and the teams that he should excel against, he's destroying.
Yeah.
So I could see if you say, you know, Lamar Jackson goes out and plays the Patriots like they did, right? It makes them just look silly, right? And that game was never in question if those two turnovers from Baltimore don't happen. The muff punt, the fumble by Mark Ingram. Those don't happen. That game's nowhere near in question. That might be a blowout game on the historically great defense of the New England Patriots, right? But it's not like he went into Cincinnati and laid an egg. It's not like he went into Cincinnati and all of a sudden had trouble against what everybody thinks is a bad defense. He went up against a bad defense and proved to the NFL and that team that they're a bad defense.
Yeah.
You know, you're not seeing that with other quarterbacks.
Didn't they lose to Kansas City?
They did, and that was a very close game. Yeah. And that was another one where the defense, that is a bad defense. So, but
that's probably like the only really knock.
If the biggest thing that I kind of wish is that the roster that the Ravens have on defense right now could have been the roster they started the season with. Because I think we might be talking about an entire... I think the Ravens record might look a little bit different if you've got Marcus Peters roaming back there like he is right now, where he just picked off Finley for six, and he owns Russell Wilson's first interception of the year. I think he threw another one against the 49ers. Peters picked him off for six in Seattle that week. And even that defense, which had Jadeveon Clowney, has Bobby Wagner, has KJ Wright, has, you know, some good players back there. And that game, you know, he played a hell of a game. So I think that MVP race is going to be close. But to conclude kind of that conversation, who's your MVP if you had to pick right now?
If I had to pick right now.
Yeah, like if you had a vote at this part in the year, halfway through the season, who's the MVP? And I mean anyone, McCaffrey, anyone, no matter the position.
It'd probably be a toss-up between like McCaffrey or Lamar.
Even with Russell Wilson in the picture.
Yeah, only because Russell Wilson, he's playing good, but Lamar Jackson is breaking records. And then McCaffrey is playing this great on such a mediocre team.
I think
a mediocre team.
So here's my logic, and this is where I would go with it. If I had an MVP vote, I would go Lamar Jackson for MVP, and I would clearly, hands down, unanimously go Christian McCaffrey for Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh yeah.
And the reason why is because.
But how do you win MVP and not win Offensive Player of the Year?
Because it's the effect that you have on the team. So I don't think, like, Lamar Jackson is going to have record-setting numbers.
Baltimore, and they're a bottom team. Like, if you put Joe Flacco back on the Baltimore
Ravens. Oh, the Ravens are, they're probably not even a winning record right now. Which is exactly why Baltimore finally just had to pull the trigger and had to say, look, this kid's potential is better than what we've gotten out of this dude since we won the Super Bowl. I totally agree.
But Carolina, they lost Cam Newton. And
But when was the last time you saw a running back in this day and age of the NFL where we're so pass happy
do this?
Take a team and win a Super Bowl.
Oh no, yeah. Okay, yeah, I see what you mean.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Lamar Jackson has taken the Baltimore Ravens from probably being third in the AFC North. Let's keep it real, cuz I think if Joe Flacco was in the division,
cuz
the Cleveland Browns are bad.
They're bad. But they should be a lot better than
Joe Flacco was taking that team nowhere, right? And has now turned that team into possibly the favorites to win the Super Bowl, depending on who you ask at this moment in time.
I don't know about favorites.
There's a lot of people who think they're the best team in the AFC, right? Yeah. They have them in the conversation, right? And record wise, they're the second best team record wise in the AFC. And if New England loses another game and ties the record, Baltimore has the tiebreaker, which gives them the one seed. Right. So he has them from third in their division to potentially first in the conference. I don't see Christian McCaffrey being able to take the Carolina Panthers to a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson could absolutely take the Baltimore Ravens to a Super Bowl and win one. So that's why I differentiate the two between between MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. That's why. I don't necessarily think that if you're an offensive player and you win MVP that you automatically win Offensive Player of the Year, because it just doesn't work that way. But Christian McCaffrey is putting up numbers that haven't been seen since LaDainian Tomlinson won MVP.
Exactly.
Right? But that was in a different time. We are so quarterback obsessed in the NFL.
It's all passing.
That's why.
It's all passing.
It's all quarterback though. Because if you're going to put Lamar Jackson in MVP, he is passing. Don't get me wrong. He's going to throw for 3,000 yards. It's what he's on pace to throw for.
300-yard games, easy.
But it's the running is what is so demoralizing to these teams. Exactly. And the other reason why I put him first in the MVP is because he's the only Baltimore is the only team in the league that can do what Bill Belichick does with his defenses with their offense. And what I mean by that is everybody talks about how Bill Belichick will say, whatever you do as an offense, good, we're going to take that away from you. If you beat us with whatever your plan B or plan C is, congratulations, your guys executed better than us, you won the game, right? But you're not going to beat us with X. You know, you're not going to beat us with this running back. We're going to take if what you do is run the ball, we're going to take that away from you. Right. If what you do is pass, we're going to take that away from you. Now you got to beat us with the run, or now you got to beat us with this, right? Baltimore says, all right, New England, that's all fine and dandy, but this is what my quarterback's going to do. We're going to run for 210 on you, even though you've tried to stop the run. And by the way, your best player, the GOAT, Tom Brady, he can't beat us on the sideline. So we're going to take the ball in the third quarter and fourth quarter and take 8 minutes off the clock on a drive that goes from one end of the field to the other, and it's going to end with a touchdown. And then we're going to take the ball back again, and we're going to go on a 9-plus-minute drive and just take all the time off the clock. Oh, and we're going to end that one with a touchdown too. You can't beat a team if your offense is on the sidelines in most cases, unless that team is giving your defense points, and you're not doing that with 8-minute drives, with 9-minute drives. It's demoralizing. I mean, you literally watch Tom Brady talking to himself. Right. And when it comes to the AFC playoffs, what will kill the Kansas City Chiefs? Patrick Mahomes. Andrews. On the sidelines, whether it be from injuries or whether it be from the fact that their defense is garbage, cannot stop the run. So who's the biggest matchup disaster in the AFC right now?
Yeah,
it's the Baltimore Ravens, and it's because of Lamar Jackson and his ability to say, "Hey, Pat, nice to see you. You're going to stay on the sidelines. We're going to take this one down 9 minutes. Yeah, see what you can do in 10." It makes every single one of that team's possessions important.
Yeah, exactly.
That much more important.
Yeah,
because they know they're going to get so many less opportunities that every opportunity that they get, they have to capitalize on. And that just doesn't happen in the NFL.
Right.
It just doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
And it's so demoralizing that you don't even ever get to get into to your function.
Right.
You know, you don't get any chemistry going. You don't get any, anything going on a roll. So that would be my pick. That's my reasoning. We got 7 minutes or so left in the show because we love to talk about football. Real quick, your most surprising team this year?
My most surprising team? I don't know. The Bengals, because I didn't think we'd be so bad.
Okay, so surprising in a bad way. So that could be
your most surprised team, and
your most disappointing team at the same time.
Yes.
They won something. We should make a little. We're gonna make like a foil award with like foil and cardboard. We'll mail that off to them. Your most disappointing team?
Honestly, probably the Cleveland Browns. I honestly thought they were gonna come out stronger than they have, and they are just not.
What do you think
good,
the problem is,
man?
You think Kitchens is gone after this year?
I don't know, because I don't know if it's is it.
Is it Kitchens?
That's what I'm saying.
Is it Baker?
Yeah.
Is it Baker Mayfield worried too much about, you know, how cool they look and how great they're going to be on paper, and then they didn't put the work in?
But I don't think it would just be him.
I don't think they put the work in. As an offense, as a team, I don't think they put the work in. I think they said, we got Jarvis Landry, we got Odell Beckham, we got Baker Mayfield, and we got Nick Chubb, and we're just going to go kill everyone.
It reminded me of like a basketball team. Like where they just get like a whole bunch of big names come together and just think they're going
to
be that
good. Like that Lakers team that lost to the Pistons. NBA,
you can do that in the NBA. Of course you can. But in the NFL, it doesn't just gel like that.
No, because the NFL.
And you have one game a week.
Absolutely.
To do it. Absolutely. You know what I mean? One game a week.
But in the NFL, I mean, you have lots of off-season workouts. But
a ton of practice.
They're so restricted now that you got to, if you really want to get on that level, you got to make the time on your own time to do it. Oh, I don't think the Cleveland Browns did that.
No.
I think other teams have, and I think it shows when that product hits the field.
Yeah,
when
they're gelling together and stuff like that. Yeah, I think so, they just thought it would
be I agree good. With your most disappointing team. I think the most surprise team, and I also think this is not in a good way, so this is not a good award apparently. I thought it would be a good award, but the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears.
Did you really believe in Trubisky? You thought he was a
quarterback? I didn't necessarily believe in Trubisky. I believed in the way that Matt Nagy was using him.
Yeah.
That's what I believed in, yes. I believed that Matt Nagy was going to take what he could do well and extrapolate that and fit the system to what he does well, a la what Baltimore has done with Lamar, what, you know, Seattle does with Russell Wilson, Kansas City does with Patrick Mahomes. But I also I didn't think he was worth giving up what they gave up to get him to move up one spot when San Francisco didn't fucking want him anyway.
Exactly.
That was just really stupid. I didn't see anybody else jumping up to grab him. He started for 1 year at North Carolina. Mm-hmm. No offense to North Carolina. They're not known for football players. They're not known for football. They're going to get back there. They've had a decent year this year. They brought back Mac Brown. They're going to turn the team around. That's still all fine and dandy. Bad. At that time, no. He had one good year.
Right.
He had one good year, and now it's kind of like,
what's happening?
Were you a flash in the pan? And then he had one good year in Chicago under a new head coach where teams didn't have tape on them.
Right.
Now they got tape on them. It's a different story. Yeah. That's my most surprised team. My most disappointing team is probably going to be the Cleveland Browns. And quite honestly, I gotta add to I think the Miami Dolphins are very disappointing, and not in the way that we expected them to be good, just in a way that they really went out of their way to make sure they were bad.
Yeah, no.
And that's disappointing.
They sabotaged their whole team at the beginning of the
because
year.
The biggest thing that I don't understand is how you can have this idea that you're going to tank for a quarterback, but in preparation for tanking for the number one pick to possibly take the future of your franchise, you traded the left tackle away.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's literally highest paid offensive lineman position
for a reason.
And you traded a very good one who you got lucky to get, because Laremy Tunsil is a quality player who only fell in the draft because of that bong video, the gas mask video that came out the day of the draft. You got lucky to get that dude, and you gave him up, and that's when I really started getting suspicious about their intentions down there.
Yeah, they were going for the year.
So they would be my most disappointing team. Lastly, Super Bowl pick.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know, honestly. I'm going to go with Seattle.
To win it all.
Yeah. For some reason, I don't know why, but I feel like it's...
They potentially have to do it from a wild card spot. If San Francisco can finish out strong.
San Francisco is going to finish out strong. They got a lot of injuries.
I think San Francisco has the biggest potential to choke, and I think that from what I saw, so I went to bed before, you know, when the game was live, but I did watch some of it the next day, and Jimmy Garoppolo looked shook in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like he was getting happy feet.
Right. Just nervous.
And I think with Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's truly, truly, truly in a pressure cooker situation like that game was, that was a pressure cooker. That game is about as close as you can get to simulating a Super Bowl or a playoff game or an NFC title game.
Shit is on the line.
That you're going to get, because in the playoffs, that physicality gets turned up.
Yeah.
The refs seem to let you play a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's cold. Right. We're running the rock. So
plays matter.
There's an opportunity. I think my Super Bowl is probably going to be. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Baltimore and Seattle again. Mm-hmm. In a matchup between those two teams. I don't think the Chiefs have it this year to make the Super Bowl with that defense.
That defense is just,
no matter what they did last year with that defense, they still had Tamba Ali, I believe, and they still had Justin Houston last year. They don't have even those guys this year. You know what I mean? And they can't stop the run. No. And if they come up against a team that runs, you know, Deshaun Watson, and Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson with Houston, if they come up against Baltimore, who averages 200 yards rushing a game with Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson, they're not going to be able to do it. They're going to get run out of the building because their defense won't stop anyone. Mahomes can't do shit from the sideline. I think the NFC team, I could see Green Bay going on a run because they always do.
Yeah, they always they just play good.
I also wouldn't be surprised if maybe this is the year Minnesota actually makes it happen and actually gets themselves into the Super Bowl. I could see that too.
He started out bad, and then he started getting it together.
It's true, and they did just come off of a big win against Dallas.
Exactly.
So I guess we're going to end the show there because we're at an hour, and it's been fun. Yeah. Let's preview next week's show because we're back. We're in full force now. So next Wednesday we got another show. We're about to come out.
Touch up on some basketball, definitely.
So the biggest thing, we're going to definitely touch on some basketball next week. Of course, we'll always recap some games. Maybe see what kind of pop culture shit's going on. We'll get back into our music bag. I know we like to talk about music, hip hop. The Game is dropping a new album. He's claiming it's going to be his last album, and then he's retiring.
I'm not a Game fan.
We'll see. I'm not really either.
I'll give it a try, but
Kodak Black just got 4 years. We'll talk about that next week. Weapons charges, man. I mean, he used
probation, man.
He was on probation, right?
That's right.
From the sex thing, and then got caught bringing weapons in from Canada.
Some stupid shit.
Yes, it's some really dumb shit. We'll read up on it. We'll go over that. I want to try to get into maybe some new music. You know, we'll see. I'll hit you up and see what's on new music wise. Maybe we could do some album review or something. But the NBA, we really got into it. We got to talk about the NBA, the season outlook. 10 games, 11 games in, depending on the team. The season looks like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's different than what I was expecting.
We're going to have our third champion in 3 years. I can just about guarantee that because I don't see Toronto. Although they look like they might be a decent team, they're not winning the NBA title
Toronto
this year.
Definitely,
I would be surprised if they made the playoffs, and they probably will only because it's the Eastern Conference. And as long as you have the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference, you will always be the worst conference of the NBA. Because James Dolan just like Adam Silver literally needs to be like, nah, bro, you got to hand it over. Right, you fucking suck. You're not even trying anymore. You need to relinquish it. Yeah. It is kind of bad that people are allowed to own NBA teams at some time because you really wish the league could just step in and be like something's not right here. They're already trying to call. It's like they're trying to call for Fizdale's firing a year and a half into it. You traded away Porzingis. There's a whole lot we can get into about that.
The Knicks, man. That owner is out of line.
Dolan's an idiot. Is it Dolan? Yeah, James Dolan, right? James That's his Dolan. Name. I don't know. I get him confused with the old Clippers owner too. Not the new one. Not Ballmer. The old racist one. That's it, man. I had a blast.
It was good.
I've been waiting for this for a minute. I hope our listeners are ready for this. I hope everybody's excited. Where was I going with this? We're back. That was episode 15, ladies and gentlemen. We're signing off. Same time next week. I'm Frank.
This is Devin.
Peace.
Later.